T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
205 DGS. So I'm not nearly as into football as I used to be when I was doing fantasy. I knew every player and everything, but I still, you know, I keep up with it. And the Cowboys obviously just lost a heartbreaker, and Dak Prescott, who I've always thought was overrated, but you know what? So am I. But he really took crap this last game, and something I guess has never happened before. The Dallas Cowboys official Twitter page threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, Dak Prescott turned the ball over 2 times as the Cowboys lost, and he continued his inconsistent play, something along those lines. It was really, I'd be surprised if that person has a job.
Oh, so you think maybe it was a rogue kind of thing?
It's certainly their social media person. I don't think the tweet's been deleted, though. I think it's still up. Like, that's really not okay. You know, like that. Like, for example, like if you look at a sports team's Twitter account or whatever, if they lose, Ranji made this point earlier today. If they lose 15-1, they don't bury the pitcher that gave up 9 runs. They'll focus on how they scored the 1 run, right? Like, it's supposed to be the shiny, happy version of what just happened. It seems a little bit odd, and if I'm the player, I'm going to be a little bit upset if my own team is like, my name is the only name in a game where we lost. The whole team lost. You know, all of us are out there. All of us are out there. Like, yeah, maybe I would agree, by the way, with the criticism that Prescott missed some plays that probably cost them the game. His turnovers, he missed a touchdown play that would have been a really easy touchdown and he threw to the wrong guy because he didn't see the open receiver. There are all kinds of things that he should have been better at. It doesn't change the fact that the whole team played and everybody lost. And you can't be doing that. I mean, like, that's a real, like, that's one of the biggest things in sports, is not picking out one person when you're within the group. It's okay for us to do it. You and I can do it. You know, people covering the game could say it's Dak's fault. The team should never say it's one person's fault. And in this case, it's officially the team's account. That's pretty low.
Feels very 2023.
It does, very much so. Mm-hmm. But what that is a social media manager who's a fan who's just mad and is like, this is what happened. Well, you know, think about it. If you're the person that's in that other guy's shoes, do you want everybody crapping on you? And not everybody, your own employer, your own team, your own social media account crapping on you because let's say you had a bad day. And sports are hard. You're going to have bad days. The other team's trying to stop you. And sometimes they're just better than you. And that's why when you're in that group, you don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know anything at all about Dak Prescott personally, but I find it hard to believe he just wasn't trying.
That's exactly right. Again, as an observer watching from the outside, there are clearly things that he needed to be better at, that he needs to recognize before the snap so that he can, you know, make an adjustment that should be easy for somebody that holds his job.
Almost exactly like Steve Rebecca going on our Facebook and saying, like, yeah, if we could get Glover to perform, Cam Wex would be okay. I'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
That's hurtful.
And again, those things happen behind the scenes where a manager, a boss, somebody tells you we need to be better at this. It happened to me, happens all the time. That's fine. That's not, if the Dallas Cowboys coach pulls Dak Prescott aside and it's like, dude, you can't miss that read.
Yeah,
he's making $35 million a year.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to be the dude here. And that's different. And he probably didn't do it in that way. He probably did it in a more, you know, in a coaching way. Like, listen, this is where you missed that. Next time you got to hit this because that's what's there and you need to recognize that. Like, that's normal. That's fine.
I know this is the sports segment. We're going to get back to sports, but we're talking about something that kind of dovetails into an idea I had. Rach, was it the Met Gala that Doja Cat put all the 30,000 rubies on her face?
I think it's Paris Fashion Week.
Okay, there you go. So anyway, let's focus on the Met Gala. Let's pretend it was, because it's kind of the same thing, where everyone dresses as crazy as they possibly can. Like, at this thing, was it Kylie Jenner had a life-size lion head, and Doja Cat had 30,000 rubies, and she looked like Mystique, and that feels like what we're doing in society now, that we're like, life is just become the Met Gala, and we're all just doing the dumbest, weirdest stuff we can so that we get 5 seconds of attention. Hmm. Feel me on that?
Yeah, it's funny that you brought that up, because I saw a TikTok about this earlier today, and someone was saying, like, this reminds me so much of the Hunger Games movies. Like, they showed the upper class in the Hunger Games dressed so outlandishly, and like, all they do is dress like this and sit around and have cocktails while the average person fights with each other for their entertainment. And they're like, that's kind of what it feels like whenever you see these celebrities dressed like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just like living the good life while the common person is just usually caught up in some culture war issue at each other's throats. And we should,
it's really good.
Not saying like, oh, we need to take them down or whatever, but it's like,
well, in reality, though, they're not even the big fish.
Right. They're just some.
They're middle management when it comes to this scenario, right? There are people that are so far above them.
What was your thing yesterday about billionaires propping up?
I forget the exact story.
Yeah, right wing.
It was about a specific guy, and I'm forgetting who it was.
Steven Crowder.
Oh, that's what it was. It was Steven Crowder, and there was somebody that was looking into his background, and it was interesting that there were billionaires that were kind of behind him, funding him all the way through.
He said the other side too.
And of course, my point would be that, yeah, I'm sure that those people are doing the same thing with people that are extremely on the left, because I think people that are in those positions understand where they are, how they're there, and that it's best for them that we not be talking about that. Mm. It's best for them if we're fighting amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's one of those, oh, they get together at the Bilderberger meeting. I'm not into the conspiracy nonsense. I just think people that are at that level know that dynamic.
Yeah.
And they know that there's 7 billion of us, essentially. And that so long as we're more mad at each other than we are at the fact that 1% of the people have as much wealth as they do, then they're okay. They're safe. They're in the clear. They're never going to be in the line of fire, because we're going to be too busy throwing rocks at each other.
Just on a more like small potatoes level, like back to the fashion thing, I just wonder how many more years we have of celebrities, models, actresses, whatever, like going to events like that and rubbing their different lifestyles in our face before we go like, I don't want to see this anymore. Because I know me personally, during the COVID pandemic, I was just done with all celebrities, and I kind of still am. I don't care about their events and stuff. And whenever I see them all dressed up like this, typically, especially if it's something outlandish, it just makes me roll my eyes, and it kind of makes me a little bit mad. It's probably silly to get mad at it, but it's like, you're so out of touch with the average person, but then why does the average person seem to eat this up? There's a disconnect there, and I don't understand it anymore.
Yeah,
there's an appetite.
Well, I mean, it's the same dynamic we talked about yesterday with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp and all of the ridiculous things they do. You know, Skip's throwing the Dak Prescott jersey in the garbage, and Shannon Sharp's at a Lakers game picking fights with Memphis players in the middle of the game.
Weird.
But yet people still watch their show.
What's weird for me personally, I started my career in 2000. I didn't know anything about radio, and suddenly I had some success, and I had to figure out who I was going to be. And I made a very intentional decision to not be the crazy guy, right? Hey, Zany Dave, look what I'm doing. Like that. Ooh, I don't need that kind of pressure. I'm just going to be me. And here I am 23 years later, and the crazy guys are being rewarded like never before. And not just radio guys. I'm talking politicians.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is sports adjacent. Ticketmaster. We've all bitched and moaned about it forever. And this kind of gets me. Though there's a hearing on the Hill today about Ticketmaster. Now everybody's friends and everyone's like, oh my gosh, was that wrong? And it's because of Taylor Swift, and it blew up and it melted down. And one of them had the guts, idiocy. We need to find this sound. And they're like, well, looks like the Swifties figured things out, didn't they? Oh my God, shut up. Go outside and practice falling down. I cannot believe after the billions of dollars that Ticketmaster has stolen from America, that they're all now like making nice and, oh gosh, we shouldn't have done that, I guess. Swifties, like, I just can't believe it.
The power of T-Swift. So, I'm sorry, what they've like come together now, Congress and Ticketmaster. They're not mad at Ticketmaster anymore?
I don't know. I just know that they were all kind of kumbaya-ing it. And Ticketmaster was sort of like, gosh, we didn't realize.
We had no idea we had a monopoly on this market.
It took Taylor Swift for you guys to notice that you were bending everybody over for 20 years?
It does get annoying. I was listening to one of my podcasts this morning and they were like, is Ticketmaster the anti-hero? Like all of the Taylor Swift references. And I like Taylor Swift, but I'm going, you guys, stop trying to be relatable and cute. It's so annoying.
It kind of feels like, so the person who said that was Mike Lee from Utah, who's like, I think one of the farther right senators. And he kind of, it feels like he's almost putting a little shade on maybe some other groups that might be protesting. He says, as I was driving up this morning, I couldn't help but notice I had never seen more smiling and happy demonstrators than I saw today. These Swifties have figured something out. They're very good at getting their message across.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Maybe saying if you're protesting, you should be smiling and happy instead of...
Yeah,
what if they stormed the Capitol?
Oh, my God.
I'm not even going to lie.
The thing that's maddening about that whole situation and everything with Live Nation, Ticketmaster, is it can't... They don't do much, if anything, to protect regular people from bots sweeping in and buying them up. And then selling everything as like a premium. Like now it's a premium ticket and you can buy it now for 5 times what it was worth. How do those agencies, whether it's Ticketmaster or Live Nation, why are they okay with it being that way? Because it's one thing if human beings have to stand in line and then they have to buy them or they have to get online themselves individually and do it. I would think there'd be some easier way to protect that. I mean, every site I go to is like, prove you're not a robot. Mm-hmm. Which one has the motorcycle in it? And then, so why aren't they doing those same things for ticket sales mm-hmm. to protect it from bots that are just going to upcharge everything?
Here's the other thing, and this is just me being cranky, but Taylor Swift could have avoided this by not using Ticketmaster.
That's true.
If there's anyone who has the resources to use their own ticketing system, I mean, Pearl Jam's done it in the past.
Yep.
Pretty sure Taylor Swift makes more money than Pearl Jam at this point.
Good bet.
But her whole thing was like... I was assured this wouldn't happen. Like, okay, girlfriend.
Also, Ticketmaster does not care if bots buy the tickets. They care if the tickets sold. They care if they sell the tickets from their stock and it goes to a different party. It doesn't matter to them from there. It doesn't matter to them if a bot buys it. It doesn't matter if, you know, there's a bunch of empty seats at the top area of the concert, because even though it was sold out, because you know, they couldn't resell the tickets or whatever. They don't care. It doesn't matter to them because they have gotten a sold out concert's worth of ticket prices.
Okay. Covered a lot of ground there.
Yep.
222 DGS on KMOX. Each day at this time, we check in with the newsroom. We got half of them in here today. We have Michael Calhoun and Maria Kina, our favorite, and some pretty good stuff here.
Yes.
Really interesting. I didn't know about this. Who wants to lead it off?
Well, I can tell you today, the mayor announced that interim director Dr. Dan Isom is stepping down for another interim director, St. Louis Deputy Fire Chief and Fire Marshal Charles Coyle, who has been on the fire department 45 years. They are doing a national search now for a permanent public safety director. They will accept internal, external candidates, but right now they're just... trying to get this all together, and it's coming at a time when they're facing a lot.
Yeah, this comes after the, if you've heard the news, the insane almost string of carjackings across a very stable, considered safe part of South St. Louis, the St. Louis Hills, Southampton area last night. I mean, I don't necessarily want to go through the whole list, but we're talking, you know, more than a half dozen of these incidents, carjackings at places like the Hampton Village Schnucks at 6 p.m., which is...
Wow.
Just incredible to think about. And exclusively on KMOX, you won't hear this anywhere else. We talked with one of the victims of those carjackings, the one from Hampton Village.
I was getting like my phone ready to plug into the radio. and I hear this tap on my window, and I look over, and there's this young man standing there with a mask on and the gun in the window, and he told me to give him the keys and get out of the car.
And they had another car that was parked in back as a block with other young men with guns who were cursing at him and telling him to get away from his vehicle. That was similar to the description of a car that had been stolen in the same time frame last night. And so he said that this was just crazy at 6 p.m. at Hampton Village.
There were people everywhere, so this was pretty bold.
But there was one thing that helped police pick up the scent.
I was on empty pretty much and was going to get gas tomorrow before work. And so they didn't have fuel.
So police saw the vehicle near downtown gassing up, the criminals gassing it up. So they gave chase on Highway 40 for a stretch at 6:30 p.m. and lost sight of it. And then, so, you know, we had the incident at the Foundry over the weekend with police officers almost shot in the head and several cars that had windows broken. And then this happened last night across South City. So, Maria, we're trying to get answers, trying to get just some information, some explanation, an update on where things stand with the investigation from police today. Well, but
and I think it's interesting. Dan Isom, that's Dr. Dan Isom, the outgoing interim public safety director. I specifically asked him, for one thing, I expected to see a press conference yesterday after the Saturday incident where two police officers literally almost had their heads shot off. It was someone through a roof firing a rifle. They took three teens into custody, 15 and 16. One of them had an auto-sear Glock, making it fully automatic. The other Glock 19 was stolen. When police went to the juvenile courts, they said release them to their parents. I've been trying to get some information about, from the juvenile court, how does this happen? What's the procedure? What happens to the weapons? And they're not returning phone calls. So today I asked Dr. Isom about it. And he also told me to contact, that's something they have to answer. And I said, they're not returning phone calls. But I think something that's interesting with all of this, Isom does think that all of these carjackings and the Foundry incident are all related because they're working in teams. Hmm. So it's very probable, or it's possible, that those three teens that they released back to their parents were back out on the street in South St. Louis.
Doing things like not just the parking lot, but swarming vehicles parked at an intersection waiting for the light to change, waiting for cars in front of them to move. And they get surrounded by cars. People jump out of the cars with guns. And one person actually got away because they hit one of the suspect's vehicles. We were able to maneuver around it and flee.
Do we know, a dumb question, but I mean, I had my car stolen about a year ago. Do we know why they're stealing the cars? Is it like old school, taking them to chop shops, changing the VIN numbers, or are they using them for crimes, which is what they did with my car?
The victim who we talked to from Hampton Village last night said that police told him, at least, you know, this was the officer just responding, giving his first impressions, but said that this might be, you know, there's some sort of initiation or proving themselves.
Well, and also a lot of joyriding. And in this situation where they're conducting all these carjackings, they're needing that second vehicle as a block vehicle.
Yeah.
In order to
so maybe they steal the first vehicle and use it to steal the second vehicle then.
Yeah. And I mean, just overall, the level of crime in St. Louis is very frightening to people. And you have a brand new hotspot, the Foundry.
Yeah.
The Armory got hit Friday night with cars being broken into. So it's very disconcerting for people who want to come into the downtown area and keep on hearing this kind of news. And what's more concerning, and certainly police know this, and St. Louis police have said over and over, as did Isom today, they're trying to do the best that they can, but they are really outgunned out there, literally, because now you have these devices that are making these weapons fully automatic. A little thing they can make on a 3D printer.
Yeah.
So that's certainly troublesome for police.
Thank you, guys. Great work. Amazing.
This is a live briefing from MoDOT and the National Weather Service.
National Weather Service St. Louis. Yeah, unfortunately, we're at it again. We have a winter storm that's going to be approaching the area this evening. What we're looking at is precipitation is actually going to start as some light rain, probably around 9 o'clock or so this evening, give or take a couple hours. But I think by midnight, all rain will transition pretty quickly to snow. And so we're looking at a heavy, wet snow that's going to fall basically through the overnight hours into the mid-morning hours on Wednesday morning. Overall amounts, we are looking for kind of a gradient across the area. You go further northwest of St. Louis, maybe just 2 to 3 inches, whereas you go St. Louis and point southeast might be closer to 4 to 6, maybe even 7 inches. So again, further northwest, you'll probably get less snow than further south and east, where we are expecting more snow and a heavier band of snow to set up. The snow is expected to be wet and heavy. So that means if you're out shoveling, it's going to be exhausting to shovel it. It's going to feel a lot heavier than the normal snows that we get around here. So just something to kind of keep in mind. Take breaks if you're shoveling. It's going to be tough to get off your street and off your sidewalks. We also are expecting one of these big bursts of heavy snow right before the Monday morning rush hour. We could see rates of about 1 inch per hour right before the morning rush. So we are telling people, if you don't have to travel tomorrow morning, please don't. We do expect some accumulation on area roadways. The later you can delay traffic into tomorrow, I think the better off we will be as that snow starts to taper off through the mid-morning hours and into the early afternoon. So with that, I'll shoot it over to Bob.
It's been the National Weather Service, and we're about to hear from Bob Becker of MoDOT, as actually from the Missouri Highway Patrol.
Right now, instead of Bob. Good afternoon. I'm Logan Bolton with the Missouri State Highway Patrol. As always, we encourage those who have the option to stay home tomorrow, please do so. If you don't have a reason to be out on the roads, don't. I know that's not an option for a lot of people. You will still have to go to work. You'll still have to get out. For those people who do have to commute, plan ahead, set your alarms earlier, wake up earlier, hit the road earlier. You're going to need to give yourself enough time, drive slow, drive in a way that matches the roadway conditions. You also need to increase your following distance to the cars that are in front of you. It's going to take you longer to brake. Also, avoid aggressive driving. Just because somebody ahead of you is driving a little bit slower, they're doing that for a reason. They're trying to get where they're going safely. Just kind of fall in line. That's why you're leaving the house a little bit earlier. Give MoDOT the room that they need to work. They're out there trying to make the roadway safer for us, for you. So don't crowd them. Don't try to pass them really quick. And don't ride directly beside them. Give them the amount of space that they need to effectively get their job done. If you do find yourself in a slide-off or a crash and you're off the road and you need assistance, you can dial 911. Or you can get the Highway Patrol directly at Star 55. We will be there to help you. It may take a little bit of time. Please be patient. We don't have magic tires on our cars. We have to drive with caution as well. It may take us a little bit longer than usual to get there, but we will be responding. For updates in the morning, if you want to check out your route that you're going to take to work, visit traveler.modot.org. You can see the roadway conditions there, and maybe you need to alter your route. You can also follow us at MSHP Trooper C on Twitter. We'll be updating throughout the day with lane blockages and road closures. Now I'll turn it over to Bob.
My name is Bob Becker, District Maintenance Engineer for MoDOT St. Louis District. Our plan for MoDOT for this storm is we're going to have crews out about 7 o'clock tonight getting out ahead of this storm. Some of the big concerns for this storm, it's going to be a wet, heavy snow. There's going to be a lot of snow. So that's a big concern of ours for this event, especially when it's going to be coming in during rush hour tomorrow morning. That affects a lot of people. Now, we've got some advantages with this. The temperatures are up there, so the ground temperatures are warm, so that'll help get some of that snow off the road. We're not going to do any pre-treatment ahead of this because there may be a little rain or anything like that. So this will be mainly a pushing event when that could start. And we'll be out there ready to go when it starts coming down. We're going to start working those plows and pushing things off the road. So another big concern of mine is giving us plenty of room as you're out there when you're out traveling with us, because it is going to be a wet and heavy snow. And when that snow is coming off those plows, that's a lot of snow, a lot of weight. So we want people to avoid that. Stay out of that area. Stay out from, don't try to pass any of our plows, because that can, like I said, it's a lot of weight. It's going to hit your car, and it could cause problems for you, cause you to lose control. So give us plenty of room. We're out there. Our folks are going to be traveling slower in these conditions because of that, too, just to make sure that, that we don't push too much and don't cause any damage. So that's kind of the big thing right now. We're going to have full crews out. We'll be out tomorrow morning again at shift change, and we'll be out for this. And hopefully tomorrow morning, after it slows down, we'll be able to make a lot of progress quick because those ground temperatures are so warm. So like I said before, if you have to get out tomorrow and get out in the morning, go to the travel information map, look at your route, see what the road conditions are.
So as we've said, clearing Missouri roadways is a critical function here. with the Missouri DOT. If you must get out and travel during this winter weather event, please plan ahead. Allow yourselves extra time, extra space. Give the crews extra space. And please do not crowd the plow. I can't reiterate that enough, to give our folks extra room. If you do have to get out, we do have information. You can check your routes on the traveler information map that's available on our website and on your phone. With that, we can take any questions.
With it coming in this burst right before the morning commute, I know even if people stay home, that's when you have that heavy volume of traffic. Again, this is just that folks stay home, because that could slow you guys down even a little bit more, right, if there's too many cars out on the road?
Either one.
Yeah. I'll take it. But I mean, yes, that's always a problem. Anytime there's, you know, traffic backup because of an accident, because as we all know, our cars don't work as well in the snow. You know, it doesn't react like it normally does on a dry day. So when that does happen and, you know, traffic's backed up, we can't get there either. So it just compounds the problem when it's snowing and that. Like I said, we're big concern is it coming at right at rush hour with all the new traffic.
Is there any specific areas of concern, especially with the heavy wet snow, that people should be mindful of if they are commuting?
I mean, I think, you know, just looking at the, it's going to get heavier down south. Franklin, Jefferson County in our district, those are looking at heavier bands of snow. So that's always an area. The more snow we're going to get, the more problems it is. But as we all know, any little bit of snow can cause a problem, because it's going to make your car react differently.
From a staffing and resource perspective, are you guys good to go, or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is those statewide events. It's how we've handled it. We've got some more people in, you know, over the year already, but we've got some of those people trained that we initially started. But it is a statewide event. We pulled resources in. We're ready to go.
One question for you, Corporal. I know previously, you know, you guys have said, like, you get in an accident or a roadway incident, you know, during extreme conditions like this, safest place is in your car. Could you kind of reiterate that message?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you were a slide off, a crash, whatever it may be, and you end up off the road somewhere, the safest place is going to be inside your vehicle. We want you to remain inside there, because you ended up off the road because you hit a slick spot. Chances are somebody else is going to hit that same spot, and they may end up in the exact same spot you ended up. So you're going to be a lot safer inside your vehicle than if you were standing out near your vehicle.
And then my last one, either for you or you, I know we talk about emergency preparedness kits.
All right, guys, we're going to tap out of that. Boy, I wish they would have told us whether we can pass a plow on the highway or not. That
Dave, should
helpful.
We pass the
I don't know. Plows? No one ever covered that. Okay, we're going to take a break, come back real quick with Trish Gazelle, who's going to tell us about whether we should pass a snowplow or not. Welcome back, guys. DGS 246, joined by Trish Gazelle. Hello, Trish.
DG and the S, what's up?
Trish, I thought of you this morning. I should have seen it coming, but I was still surprised when I saw that my favorite movie and yours, Top Gun Maverick, was nominated for Best Picture for an Oscar.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
And I mean, I get the 80s thing and the kitsch and the yes, Tom Cruise, and, you know, you've lost that love and feeling. I get it all. I don't get how it's nominated for Best Picture.
I mean, to me, and Wheels is about to have kittens because he loved it, and so did Nick.
I didn't love it. I liked it more than the original, but it's not an Oscar-worthy movie.
Here's the deal. I liked it for what it was.
Right.
Which to me was like a $400 million Lifetime movie. Planes go fast, good guys win.
Yay!
But I was watching it, and at one point, there is like a pause, and I'm thinking to myself, if he says this line, I'm going to go pull my toenails out.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what he said. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me.
How the toenails growing back.
How is everything else? Did you follow this, Trish? Who was nominated for what? I really haven't.
I mean, I glanced at it because Rach had it for later, so I kind of skipped the Oscar stuff.
Gotcha.
I have all the best pictures here if you want to hear
it. Yeah, sure.
All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, which is the only movie I've seen, and I can't pronounce it. Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking.
Wait, all of those for best movie?
Remember they expanded it?
They expanded it to 10.
Oh, that seems like a lot.
They nominated Avatar?
They nominated Avatar.
That's another one, too. Like,
Avatar sucked.
It was fun
to
look at.
We're playing loose with these rules here.
Yeah, it's like, it's pretty. It's got a lot of action, but it ain't good.
Well, you know what happened, guys? Like, 10 years ago, we were all bitching because, like, no one's seen these movies. They're all art house movies.
Yeah.
Let's get some real movies. And now they're like, okay, here's Top Gun.
Okay.
How's that?
In Avatar, the bad guys become the Avatar blue people.
Spoiler.
In order to mix in with the avatars, right, and then, like, trick them, but they all walk around wearing bulletproof vests and giant wraparound sunglasses that fit their giant, now blue alien heads.
That's pretty
bad.
And
that's what we're given. That's what we're given Best Picture to, people.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. We're going to blend in, even though we're still going to dress like jarheads.
Like, do you want the...
They're wearing, like,
you
pants.
Know how they always release the Razzies to the worst of the movies. Here are the ones nominated for worst. Blonde,
Avatar,
which is the Marilyn Monroe biopic. Disney's Pinocchio, which Tom Hanks is also nominated for worst actor for that. Good Morning, The King's Daughter, and Morbius, I think it is, with Jared Leto. Yeah.
Heard that was bad.
I forgot about
you
Morbius.
Saw it? I heard that was bad.
I rented it.
Did you like it?
I didn't make it to the end.
No.
Is Wheeler in studio?
Yeah.
He is.
Oh, I didn't think you were. I'm just being nosy.
No, yeah, no.
I can't see anybody.
Nope, all good.
He's at home with no mic. You can still hear him.
Just open the window a little bit.
He's good. Yeah, he's got the window cracked.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Do you guys want a MILF Manor update?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I forgot about that.
I just got to tell you one thing about the Sunday night show. So if anyone doesn't know what it is, it's a new show on TLC, The Learning Channel, about 8 hot moms, and they want to date younger men. And then they reveal the younger men, and it's all their sons. So these women are going to be dating other people's sons while they're there, and it's gross. And then the first challenge they had to get the best suite, as we heard last week, was they were blindfolded, and they had to feel up the guys, like their shoulders and their abs, to see if they could guess which one was their son. Ugh. So this week's challenge, I don't know how they didn't think this was going to be revealed. So they were all asked to reveal on a piece of paper, like, their dirtiest secret. And the one lady's like, well, I didn't think I'd have to read mine out loud. I'm like, you're on a reality show. What do you think you're doing? So anyway, so they all had to go to this board where all of these dirty secrets are, and they had to match them up with either their son or their mom. And I can't even say a lot of them on KMOX. Like, I can't even tell you. I'll tell you the one that caused the greatest stir, which was a mom saying they slept with their son's best friend. And then the son found out, and he was, like, really upset. It was, like, a tense moment.
I can't believe that this is allowed to happen. You know? Like, the whole, like, touching your son's naked torso, like, that shouldn't be legal. And then the emotional trauma.
As Wheels pointed out, if it were, maybe it was Trish, if it were flipped and it were dads and daughters,
it
wouldn't get made.
Could you imagine 50-year-old dads?
No, I don't want to figure.
I know. This is my point. Like, and I know the guys agreed to it. So it's not, you know, that probably takes out the illegal side. It's still gross.
Yeah, it's just like, ugh, guys, can't we find another thing to?
Where's the next line, though? Now, where's the line move from this?
Trish, is Pat
well,
still
I'll
watching
tell
with
you next
you?
Week? I think she dropped off. She's just doing 90 Day Fiancé. She can only handle so much crap TV. So yeah, she's out of that.
Okay. I know you'll be honest. Are you enjoying it, or is it more just like a pure driving by a car crash kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much that. It's like, I can't believe when I'm watching, and it gets more ridiculous each episode. So I'm just kind of trying to see where it goes.
Yeah. What else
I'm
you
doing
for
you
us?
Guys a service.
No,
so,
yeah.
It's really
yeah.
hard because
yeah.
I want to know what happens, yeah. but I don't want to watch it.
This totally bummed me out. So just like this week, Billy Idol's going on tour, Dave Matthews, REO Speedwagon, Stevie Nicks, Madonna, her Celebration tour, which 98% of the tickets sold out in just a matter of hours. Beck, none of them have St. Louis dates. None. Now, I know they add some along the way, but wouldn't it be nice if we got one on the first go around? Like, it's very depressing. But hey, Nickelback's coming, so we're all good.
I think that's a big indicator. You know, we interview the mayor and we talk, you know, we're Cam Wax. We talked to all the big muckety mucks and the politicians and such. But if you want a real indicator, that's a real indicator when big shows don't come through St. Louis because
stinks.
They don't care. All they care about is making money.
The biggest stars? Ones come, though, right? I mean, like,
well, Madonna's
Chappelle
not.
And, yeah, but Madonna's, like, past it. I mean, like, you know, Taylor Swift still comes here.
No, wait a second. I will say Madonna, yeah, she's not current or relevant, but her playing four decades of hits, and the, I mean, just by the ticket sales, she's not irrelevant.
Yeah, I wouldn't go irrelevant. No, she's not. Well, that's a bigger problem.
Taylor Swift's not coming here, right, Andrew?
No.
Yeah,
no,
she's skipping us.
No. Yeah, that's a bigger problem. Hey, guys, Metallica's coming. We can go with that.
No, thank you.
All right. I'll pass.
Catch you on the next one.
Justin Bieber just sold his publishing rights. You know how everybody's doing that now? Anyone want to guess how much?
No.
He's only like 17, right?
He's had a lot of hits.
I thought it was like surprisingly low, right?
No, it's a record for any artist of his generation.
But never mind. So he's...
Right again, Andrew. He sold it for $203 million, which I mean, he has 290 songs in his catalog.
Okay.
$203 million.
Okay, someone help me out with this. I mean, I know basically, but when I think of things like this, I think like, okay, so now car commercials can play Justin Bieber. Is that basically what it is?
It means someone else owns it now.
They can license it out however they want.
For any use, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Isn't that what happened with the Beatles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Michael Jackson bought
it. And crucially, he has no say. So if somebody or some cause or some company that he really hates and does not support buys the rights to one of his songs, yeah, he can't do anything about it if they are using his song to, you know, promote whatever.
Fair enough.
Did you guys see that Beyonce Dubai concert, what she got paid?
Yes.
For an hour worth of work?
$24 million.
$24 million for an hour.
And I love how no one was supposed to bring a phone in, but it's all over TikTok footage from it. So somebody snuck a phone in and filmed her like levitating above the band.
Man, you know that's going to happen with DGS Live too.
Someone's going to pirate it and we're going to go viral.
They're going to make all the money. Dang it.
I thought you meant the levitating.
I wish I could fool the Saudis into thinking I was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, hey guys, I'll give you an hour of my stand up. You know what? I would crack their Saudi asses up. Give me $1 million. I will do my stand up and I'll do other sexual things that are probably illegal. Like, you know what I mean? Just like,
but you know, we were talking about this though, especially when they started that new golf tournament or the golf league. Like, would you do it for this amount of money, even though they might be really bad people? And I think most of us said yes. Because how can you pass up that money?
Yeah, everyone's doing it.
Yep. But everybody yelled at the golfers when it was their turn, though.
I think part of that had to do with the fact that Trump hosted one of their golf tournaments at his course, so that got everyone riled up and, you know, like, oh, well, I would never, because they saw him do it.
Yeah.
I think that's usually a factor in stuff like that.
I will say this. There's some news that, hey, look, it's Trump. He took a picture with a mob boss, and he's giving the weak thumbs up and stuff. It's like, dude, I've probably posed with mob bosses, you know, like I can't fault the guy for that. I mean, if he invited him to Mar-a-Lago like he did the white supremacist, okay. But he probably takes a lot of pictures with a lot of people. So I never get too twisted around
about that. I forgot
about
that.
Was that Nick Fuentes?
Yeah.
Oh, guess what? He's back on Twitter now. Yay.
Yay. Everybody's getting back on Twitter.
Did Trump say he's getting back on Twitter?
Well, there's reporting that he's trying to figure out a path to doing that. Like, he's welcome back on Twitter.
Yeah, his account is back.
But he's got to settle the whole Truth Social thing. And I guess somebody said that his contract with them is up soon.
Oh, I thought he owned it.
Yeah, he put his own money in anything. Everybody else gives him money.
Thank you, Trish.
See ya.